Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. You ever wondered why it seems that you've been under constant attack by the enemy of your destiny? Have you ever thought about why it seems seemingly nothing goes right? Almost as if the enemy is playing games on you. The answer is simple. Satan fights where it hurts him most, and that's you. He recognizes your potential for the kingdom. He knows that God created a path through the Word for you to be successful and prosperous. He understands God has positioned you to operate in time office of the giver. He's frightened, that's right, frightened, that you'll tap into previously unknown potential. He's petrified that you will realize he's a defeated foe. Well, just directed to repeat several things. Satan fights what hurts him most. That's you. He recognizes your potential for the kingdom. He knows God created a path through the Word for you to be successful and prosperous. He understands God has positioned you to operate in the end time office of the giver. He's frightened that you'll tap into previously unknown potential, and he's petrified that you'll realize he's a defeated foe.
Colossians 2, verse 15 in the Classic Amplified Bible. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross.
He's terrified you'll realize that he created you unique in all the earth and that nothing's impossible to you because you believe. You believe. His plan, well, it's to distract you from God's promises, such as John 10:10, New Living Translation.
The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and to destroy. My purpose, Jesus said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life.
Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. The battles you face aren't flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. See, you may think it's a problem with your spouse, with your boss, with your children. It's not. Oh, that's the immediate reference point. But it's really a battle against principalities and powers. The enemy trying to distract you, to neutralize you, to render you ineffective for the kingdom. But the great news is you win. He loses. Let's look at seven ways we're hurting the devil. Number one, run to God. Run to God.
Psalm 37, verse 39 in the Message Bible. The spacious, free life is from God. It's also protected and safe. God strengthened. We're delivered from evil. When we run to him, he saves us.
No matter how bad the problem or intense the attack, the creator of heaven and earth will deliver us from every attack of the enemy. The word is clear. When we run to him, he will save us.
Philippians 1, verse 19 in the New Living Translation. For I know that as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance.
As we've often said, prayer changes things is, well, it's more than a cute phrase taught in Sunday school classes. It's a powerful, guaranteed vehicle for changing the course of every battle you face. When you pray, you're no longer fighting alone. You're calling in the cavalry, the host of heaven, to do your battle. When we follow the unction of the Holy Spirit, we'll make right decisions. a set of ones based on human logic and emotions. As we seek his direction for the next step to take, we talk with him, commune with him. Do that until your path is clear. Then your deliverance will be at hand. As we understand the importance of running to him, when we do that, we hurt the devil. We throw at his plans to break our focus and derail our destiny. Number two, we hurt him, the enemy. When we understand the battle we're facing is not flesh and blood. Going a little further on what I said earlier, our enemy is not our boss. Our spouse is surely not our boss. I mean, our enemy. Our creditors, our next-door neighbor, or any human on planet Earth, regardless of what they've done to us or how they've treated us. It's imperative that we fully understand the source of the attacks against us.
Ephesians 6, verse 12 in the Classic Amplified Bible. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere.
Once we can properly identify our enemy, we can enlist the assistance of our personal SEAL team. But you know, our team only needs one member with a capital O to make us successful and a winner every time.
Exodus 23, verse 22. But if you will indeed listen to and obey his voice, I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. And Romans 8:31, I'm telling you, this will make you shout. The last part of it in the Classic Amplified Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side?
That's a great verse to personalize, by the way. If God is for Ray, who can be against him? You see what I'm saying? Personalizing. Get it down inside of you. Hallelujah. See, when we understand who we're fighting against and who's fighting for us, we can hurt the devil by exposing his tactics. Another way we hurt him is number three, boot camp preparation. All new recruits into our armed forces must go to boot camp, where they learn the basics of how to not only be a good, but an effective soldier in any battle against any enemy. When we focus on the word, the basics of the word, when we receive training from our drill instructors, pastors, teachers, mentors, we're hurting the devil. The greatest asset for the enemy is not an active sinner, but an inactive and ineffective Christian who doesn't understand the authority available to them as believers. One more thing. Before any well-trained soldier goes into battle, he or she will inspect their equipment to make sure they're fully prepared to face and defeat every attack of the enemy. In preparation for spiritual warfare, the most important thing you can do is to sanctify yourself for battle.
Joshua 7, verse 13 in the New Living Translation. Get up, command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you.
How do you purify yourself for battle? Well, that verse just gave you seven of them. One, enter into his presence. Two, read your instruction manual or battle plan. Three, repent. Four, eliminate any doubt about the outcome of your mission. Five, receive your forgiveness. Six, determine who will be in the foxhole with you. And seventh, get out in front of the battle by praising God. Joshua 3:5 should become our expectation each new day.
For tomorrow, Jehovah will do wonders among you.
If you want to be successful, you can never ignore or minimize preparation time. You want to be promoted in the kingdom? A friend of ours, Rick Renner, some years ago wrote a book called Preparation Precedes Promotion. It's true. There's always a price to be paid, but it's paid in advance of your victory, never after the fact. A fully trained and properly prepared Christian hurts the devil and minimizes, if not eliminates, the effectiveness of his battle plan against them as believers. Number four, God's word is an indispensable weapon. Shall we call it weaponization? You got an unlimited access to the most powerful weapons ever created. These weapons have more powerful, well, they're more powerful than any bunker busting or nuclear bomb ever created by the mind of man. Hallelujah. They are. These weapons have the potential to bring one person, a family, or even an entire nation to their knees. An absolute surrender to your heavenly commander-in-chief. You want to know the weapons? The name, the blood, the word, the presence. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the enemy's strongholds. Our weapons prepare us so that no evil, negative, self-destructive, potential limiting, self-defeating, morally wrong, ungodly thought can ever stay in our minds.
2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. You notice it didn't say that the thoughts won't come to your mind, but they can't stay in your mind. Because 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 gives us the answer. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We certainly can't say that that is a powerful scripture, but we can't say anything more powerful than the words found in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. This is in the Message Bible. Summing it all up, friends, I'll say you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies.
We recommend writing out Philippians 4, 8, 9. On an index card. Take it with you during the day. If you're suffering from negative thoughts, read it. Read those two verses at least 7 times. Here's a better suggestion. Memorize the verses, because you'll do best by filling your minds with such powerful thoughts that you can reproduce them in your imagination. When we put into practice what we've learned from him, then Proverbs 16:3, in the Classic Amplified Bible, can be manifested in our lives.
This is a prayer of the word that I pray every day. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. And you can claim that every day.
We got to know. If our thoughts are agreeable to him, they're certainly not agreeable to the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This might be one of those calls that you want to listen to again on the playback. Let me tell you, we'll finish it tomorrow. But there's such power in today's call. Strongly encourage you to listen to it again and maybe even take notes. Personalize the verses that need to be personalized. Just do what it says. And we'll finish it tomorrow. Go to HaroldHerring.com at the top where it says sow a seed. just ask God what seed to have you put in the ground. Make sure you check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate it.